afternoon. I'm Sydney Jarrett, a senior in crop sciences at the University of Illinois. This past summer, I worked for Dr. Carl Bradley, who is a pathologist at the University of Illinois, whose research specializes in chemical control of pathogens. In 2005, based on reports that the sensitivity to one of Brazil's most popularly used fungicides had been found to be linked to the determinants gene, which a brief experiment was set up at the University of Illinois using commercial cultivars. Since we grow indeterminate varieties of soybeans here in America, the problem shouldn't exist. As I'll show you later, however, the problem did show up in our commercial varieties used by the University of Illinois' variety testing group. So this past summer, I set up a more scientific experiment using plant introductions, which are the ancestral lines for the soybeans that we grow here in America. This research really had a three-part objective. The first was to try to be proactive. It's not very often that we understand what's coming with a pathogen and that we can then study some of its possible side effects. The second objective listed here was our main objective, which was to identify the sensitivity to multiple applications of the fungicide tebuconazole. Finally, we hope to expand this research so that we can narrow the potential ancestral lines that might carry the sensitivity to these multiple applications. This way, a marker can be used, developed, and then possibly used in commercial soybean breeding. Soybeans are, growing up in Illinois, I take soybeans and they're important for granted. The United States Department of Agriculture estimates that there are 72 million acres of soybean production. This number was for 2006 and has probably actually gone down due to the fact that there are increased acres in continuous corn production this year. 2007 is expected to yield 2.6 billion bushels with an average of 41.4 bushels per acre. This average has also gone down by 1.3 bushels, again due to the fact that some of the best corn or best soybean land is also corn growing land. In 2003, the harvest of soybeans was worth $17.5 billion, which is huge to the economy, making it second only to corn in value. Within Illinois, soybeans are also hugely important. Between Iowa and Illinois, whichever state usually grows the most soybeans is second in corn and vice versa. But again, this shift to increased corn production may be throwing that all out of whack. In Illinois, we usually plant around 10 to 11 million acres of soybeans. The Illinois Department of Agriculture estimates that for 2007, there will be about 360 million bushels of soybeans harvested, with an average yield higher than the national average by about 3 bushels. And again, in Illinois, soybeans are hugely important, providing $3 billion. So anytime that there's going to be a new pathogen for soybeans, it's a huge deal in Illinois. Asian soybean rust is one of the big ones that we're looking at. In South America, it has been there since 2007, which is impeding the soybean growing in Argentina and Brazil. The spores can go up North America, and they've been doing this since about 2004. They were helped out by the fact that Hurricane Ivan came off the coast of South America and blew up and actually landed in America and stayed on land for quite a while. If the Asian soybean rust spores hit a susceptible variety and are not treated, they can reduce your yield of up to 80%. Within North America, pathologists currently estimate that we can have yield loss up to 10 to 30%. The R1 to R6 growing stage for soybeans are when the plants are most susceptible and need to be protected. Before R1, the plants are not susceptible to Asian soybean rust. Currently, despite the fact that the United States Department of Agriculture has spent over $800,000 in research, there is no resistance in commercial American varieties. Where the potential for Asian soybean rust to really explode into an epidemic is in the fact that it can overwinter on kudzu. If you're from the South, you understand just how kudzu can overtake absolutely everything. But kudzu has been found to be overwintering or living as far north as Peoria, Illinois, which is in the middle of Illinois. So if the Asian soybean rust can overwinter on the kudzu, and the kudzu can live as far north as central Illinois, instead of having to blow up and reach the prime soybean growing land at the end of each growing season, the pathogen can now have a source on which it can grow and provide a primary inoculum source that can hit at R1, the prime growing stage for soybeans. If this were to happen, there would be a need for multiple applications of fungicides. The fungicide most widely used in South America to control Asian soybean rust is tebuconazole. Pipiconazole is in the triazole family, and the triazole family is consistently ranked as one of the best preventative soybean family or fungicide families for controlling Asian soybean rust. In Brazil, about 30% of the acres sprayed use triazole family only as their active ingredient, and about 50% of triazole family fungicide with premixed with a different kind of family. For this experiment, we used Folicure, and the primary active ingredient is tebuconazole. However, there are also other places that you can find tebuconazole in commercial fungicides. One of the reasons that tebuconazole is so effective is that it has both preventative and curative action against Asian soybean rust. For this experiment, we sprayed tebuconazole at the recommended rates, time, and droplet size. We also had a non-spray control. About 2 weeks after we sprayed, we then would go and rate the soybean plots from a scale of 0 to 5. If they were rated a 0, they had no infection, and if they were rated a 5, the top leaves had 100% injury. The soybean lines that we used were actually very interesting. They're maintained by Randy Nelson, who is a USDA soybean geneticist at the University of Illinois. At the University of Illinois, we're fortunate enough to house the National Soybean Germplasm Collection. In this line of soybeans that we sprayed, there were 102 entries. Through these ancestral lines, they represent over 90% of the United States commercial germplasm, and they range in maturity from 000 to 10. The results for 2007 you can see up here. We had 4 entries that were sensitive, and by sensitive, I mean that every time we ranked them, they had a rating of 5. There were 6 entries, and you can see this data with the plant introduction number, their origin, and their severity rating. And they were determined to be partially sensitive. The other 92 entries showed absolutely no symptoms, but a picture is worth 1,000 words. Here, on your top left, you can see from the 2005 study with commercial cultivars. Here we have a sensitive commercial variety next to a non-sensitive commercial variety. The next picture is just a general setup of the field from this year with 102 entries. Further down, we can then see a sensitive variety from the 102 entries. To the left is a partially sensitive variety, and to the right is a non-sensitive variety. Here's what the beginning injury symptoms look like on a sensitive line. What the real problem then comes into the fact that this injury can look like other diseases. Brown stem rot and sudden death syndrome, both very popular, very prominent soybean diseases, have identical foliar symptoms, and their symptoms also happen to be identical to the injury from multiple applications of tebuconazole. The beginning chlorosis of tebuconazole injury is also identical to the beginning chlorosis due to amino acid biosynthesis herbicide injury. So we do want to take this research another step. This winter, I will be screening the sensitive lines in a greenhouse study to confirm the fact that they really are sensitive in a controlled environment. Next, we're going to narrow the sensitive lines, because we're also going to screen the partially sensitive lines. And hopefully we can turn this information over to geneticists who can make the crosses and then develop a marker to identify the sensitivity due to tebuconazole. And then this sensitivity can be bred out of American commercial lines. Maybe a larger application of this research would be to screen lines for sensitivity to other fungicides that control future pathogens. Of course, I had a lot of help with this from University of Illinois pathologists and the USDA ARS. Keith Ames has the joy of hand spraying my plots in July, which is never fun. And Jeff Weems, Laura Peterson, and Andrea Langlois also helped me hand weed the plots to ensure that any damage we were looking at was due to fungicide injury and not herbicide injury. And at this time, I'd like to open it up for any questions. Actually, it was discovered in some of the sentinel plots in October, but in late October, I think, like the 20th. And by then, a lot of farmers had already gone out to their fields and were harvesting it. And even if they weren't, the leaves had already senesced, so it couldn't really infect the leaves. And that was found on sentinel plots. Yes, sir.
Is there any similarity genetically from the ones that are distant?
We actually haven't looked at the genetics yet. Dr. Bradley, whom I work for, is a pathologist, so we're going to turn that information over to soybean breeders who can have the ability to look at the genetics.
So there's no similarity among the introduction. It's hard to tell what the plant was in introduction. Was there any similarity in origin?
No, there were, I think, a couple of them that came from Sweden, one from Ohio, so we don't know if they are genetically linked, or genetically similar, sorry. Yes, sir.
How long do you have to be able to do
that? That depends on who you ask. Again, if the soybean rust can survive on kudzu, it's going to shorten that window quite a bit. If it can't, then we've got a few more years. I don't know from a commercial standpoint where the resistance stands. They might have it, resistance to the pathogen and then non-sensitivity to the fungicide. So it kind of just depends on how the Asian soybean rust is able to survive. Probably the fact that it's the sink to source concentration changes. The plant is now concentrating on the pod and not trying to build up its vegetative parts of the plant. We found that it's actually more sensitive actually when the temperatures are above 90 degrees after spraying. So I think if the plant is more stressed, then again, it's going to show more injury. There was the 2005 study, and that was used with commercial, the 2005 varieties that our variety testing group used. But because of the fact that we want to be able to not have to worry about copyright regulations when we do the crosses to help develop a marker, we didn't want to use the commercial varieties. So I don't know if there are people right now doing commercial tests of this. I'm sure that probably Bayer, since they manufacture Folicure, I'm sure they're probably looking at it on the current varieties.
Do you know if the current varieties were accepted or not?
No, I don't. We didn't test commercial varieties this year.
Okay.